Proverbs 8:36. Turn there this morning. And I know some people don't like to write in their Bibles and all that kind of cool stuff. I understand that. But if there's a pencil in front of you, make a little check mark by that. Put a little star by that. Underline that. Because this verse contains a truth that is evident in all our lives. It is the denouement, the crucial understanding of spiritual warfare that we're in. And it's very, very simple, but very, very powerful. So do you have it? Proverbs 8:36. It starts out by saying, "But he that sinneth against me," who's the me? God. "He that sinneth against God wrongeth his own soul." Okay? Very important. So if you sin against God, who is the beneficiary of all that trouble that's going to come your way? Who? You are. Whatever you reap, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. So it's a very simple thing. We sin against God, and it's going to damage, it's going to destroy, it's going to wound our own soul. Now, then it has these words. "All they that hate me." Who's the me? God. "All they that hate me love death." There it is. If you hate God, you love death. Because if you hate God, ultimately you're going to be separated from God from all eternity, and you're going to die that second death. But in the absence of eternity, the rule still applies. If you hate God, you love death. You say, well, nobody should love death. Death is the enemy. Well, I think our society is working real hard on that, to try to do something about the poor press that death has been getting. Have you seen these kids? They got pajamas with skulls all over them. They got shirts with ghastly, you know, ghouls and all this. And that's death being paraded as something that is good or wholesome or cool or something like that. So, all they that love, that hate me, love death. God's side or Satan's side? You love God, and the benefits are going to come to you that God has for you. If you hate God, you're going to be eternally separated from God, and you're going to be in that camp forever unto eternity. Okay, now keep that in your mind. That's the only verse that I thought about all this week. The words came over the radio in December 7th in 1941. The words were these words. The empire, well, let me see here. If I don't put that thing down, I'll knock it down. So there we go. I talk with my hands. Okay, these words came over the radio. The empire of Japan has instituted a sneak attack upon Pearl Harbor. Thousands of American servicemen have died. They were killed. This day will live in infamy. Have you ever heard those words? I'm sure you had. I hope you have. No one who lived through those days, the greatest generation, will ever forget that announcement, which came, of course, from President Roosevelt. These were terrible words. They were words that led the United States of America into World War II. The Japanese had attacked us in Pearl Harbor. And so we immediately, and it's amazing how sometimes we take months and years to be able to make a decision. We declared war the next day. It released a sea of blood and destruction and death and untold misery upon millions and millions of people. Destruction the world had never seen up until that time. The numbers, of course, always you get a number here and a number there and those kind of things. But a conservative number would have been about 30 million people killed. And of course, we went to war, declared war against Japan. Emperor Hirohito was what? A living god. The Japanese, of course, had had that in their, inculcated into their mind and their system of education and worship and all those kind of things for years and years and years. And so Hirohito was a living god. God's representative on earth was Emperor Hirohito. Did we declare war against the Germans? We didn't. The Germans declared war against us. Hitler was honoring that tripartite treaty that the Italians, the Japanese, and the Germans had made, and so he declares war against us. Germany was, I suspect we could use words like this, a highly educated, refined, sophisticated society. Christianity had impacted Germany and all of Europe for many, many, many hundreds of years. And yet, Adolf Hitler was viewed as a messiah, one who was going to deliver Germany, one who was going to lead them to greatness beyond belief, recapturing the Superman that they really were. And so every time somebody clicked their heels and snapped that Nazi salute and said, "Heil Hitler," they were pledging their allegiance to Hitler as the unconditional leader of Germany. No one else above him. That meant God. So the lines are actually pretty clear. So you've heard that, you recognize that from history, even if you're not a history student, you've read and you understand that it was a horrible thing. World War II was a horrible thing. And basically, up until just recently, most people never tried to justify World War II as anything evil on our part. We were saving humanity. And we are part of that. Now we're getting a little tweaks on that, aren't we? But that was the general understanding until just about 20 years ago. But perhaps you didn't hear another announcement. It was made. You probably heard it with your physical ear, but you really didn't quite understand what that meant and what were going to be the consequences of that announcement. I'll repeat it for you. The United States of America suffered a stealth attack that has killed the entire population of New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, St. Louis, and Atlanta. You said, did that happen just the other day? Because I missed that one. No, it wasn't a nuclear bomb drop of the Russians. It wasn't a nuclear attack by the Chinese. It was the Supreme Court ruling of Roe v. Wade in 1973. That's what that was. We heard it, and basically we said, well, that doesn't affect me. Okay, you know, it's an extreme position out there somewhere, the court passed that ruling. Again, statistics. I think Dennis said yesterday, and that would be the conservative statistic, that in the United States of America, 60 million babies have been aborted since 1973. Worldwide, another 42 million. I don't know about you. I think that's a Holocaust. And at the very beginning, there were warnings. Some of those that understood the court's decision, and they warned us, and they said it's going to be this is the beginning of a very slippery slope. It will start out by authorizing the abortion of children in the first trimester, but it will eventually lead to infanticide. And of course, those who said such things were ridiculed as being some kind of right-wing extremist nutcases meant to spread fear and further enslave women in the male chauvinist patriarchal society. But as we said last week, we saw that the state of New York codified into law the murdering of children, not just in the first trimester, the second or the third trimester, but even unto birth. The child can be out of the birth canal. And the child then can be, quote unquote, born if it needs to have any, if the doctor and the mother want to talk about what they said, that they will make the child comfortable. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine it. Who would be so horrible as to let a child be born and put it on a table and say, well, let's tend to it until we decide whether or not to kill it or not. But that's what they passed into law. Furthermore, it doesn't have to be, I'm going to say murdered because I believe that's what it is, murdered by a doctor. The law's provision was that anyone could perform that abortion. So I guess so, if the baby's laying on the table, you could take a hammer and bash his head in. Doesn't take any skill to do that, I don't think. I guess so, if the baby's been born, you could take it out and chop it up and feed it to the hogs. I don't guess it takes any great medical skills to do that. But that's what this law says. The law, the talk, the lie was always talking about abortion and taking abortion out of the back alley and the coat hanger crowd and bringing it to medical physicians trained so that the mother and the child would have best health care possible. What a lie that was. What a lie that was. It was a lie from the very beginning. We've just stepped back into medieval days. And of course, this was passed in New York State. The legislature stood and gave it a standing ovation. I can't tell you what goes through my mind at this particular point. Because you'd say, boy, you're not much of a Christian. And you know, that's why I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. But it didn't stop in New York City, did it? It didn't stop in New York State. We learned that Virginia brought the same law to the House of Burgesses, to the Virginia legislation last week. The bill was defeated, thank God. But the governor of Virginia advocated for it. I don't know if you've heard him talk on television. That guy is sweet. He's molasses. He's slick. He's a liar, but he's slick. You know, my brother called me last week and he was really upset. And he said, what are you people going to do about this? I said, what are you talking about, you people? He said, you pastors, preachers and stuff, well, you people need to do something about this. He said, we can't have this. I said, well, that's great. He said, my pastor was just going crazy over this last week. And I got up and I went up and after church and asked him, what are you going to do about that? And he said, well, I just preached on it. He said, I mean, do something that's going to be some kind of effect. Can we call our legislators? Can we call the governor? Do we call our senators? And I thought, yeah, you could do all that. That's been done a million times. But you could do it and probably need to do it. My sister then called me a little bit later in the week, and she said, I understand Rodney called you. My brother Rodney. My real biological brother is named Rodney. It's weird, isn't it, Rodney? It's weird. My sister said, I understand Rodney called you, and was he upset? And I said, yes, he was upset. He was really just quite on fire. And she said, it's an unbelievable situation. We're living in these kind of times. And I said, yes, that's true. And she said, you know, one of the guys in their area who is their state representative for that area, San Francis County, in thereabouts, I guess, is a Democrat. She said, we voted for him for about 15 or 16 years. She said, I went to school with him. I said, I know who you're talking about. I don't know the guy personally very much, but I know who you're talking about. She said, you know, in fact, she said, I can't believe because he's such a nice guy. She said, but somebody went back and started checking all his voting records. And he's been voting for stuff like this for years and years and years and years. And he comes back to our precinct and he talks to us with buttery words. And we elect him again. I said, well, it's even worse than that. She said, how can it get worse than that? He's been deceiving us for years. I said, don't you remember about 15 years ago or 10 years ago, my brother Rodney Lee Harris ran for that congressional seat? She said, yeah, I remember that. I said, and which party did he run it in? My sister got very quiet. Because he ran as a Democrat. Guy that I went to high school with defeated him. Now I believe with all my heart that my brother has always thought abortion was wrong. But yet he ran on the Democratic ticket. He didn't put two and two together, did he? He didn't understand that you cannot be saying, I'm a pro-life person and be on a pro-death ticket. You can't do it. There's a dichotomy of core beliefs there that do not come together. And what happens to probably like this guy that my sister was talking about, their representative there, he probably is a fairly decent young man with fairly decent family values and all those kind of things. But when he gets up there to Jeff City, I think Jeff City is the capital of Missouri, I'm not sure, or Missouri, one of those places. And when he gets there, he gets under pressure from all those other guys and he votes the way they want him to vote. Because you see, his core principles that he has at the very being of who he is can be manipulated and be changed. And he votes for Claire McCaskill, who openly advocated abortion in Missouri. It's a lie. I'm going to get even more radical this morning. This issue has never been about a woman's right to choose. It's never been about the quality of life. It's never been about freedom. It's always been about life or death. If you hate me, you love death. Nehemiah chapter 9, 6 says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens. You have created us. That's in parentheses. That's my comment on that section. We're created in the image of God. We are not a mistake or a miracle of evolution. We're a miracle of God. The heavens and all the hosts thereof. God has created everything that there is. The earth and all that is on it. The seas and all that's in them. You gave life to all of them. And the heavenly hosts bow down before you. God is a God of life. But we're in a spiritual battle with death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The Pharisees and Herodians in Mark chapter 12 came to Jesus, and it says in verse 13, to catch him in his words. They didn't come to Jesus wanting to find out something, to be enlightened, or to understand further the scripture. They came with a devious purpose in mind. And Jesus responded to them by first saying, you do error. Now these guys studied the scriptures, didn't they? Jesus says, you guys have made a big mistake. And then he goes on to say, because you don't know the very scriptures you're reading, you don't understand them. And then he said, nor do you understand or know the power of God. Do you think those guys were happy about that? I don't think they were. It wasn't long after that they got together and they said, we must kill him. All those that hate me love death. Listen, these folks, these people, don't know the scriptures. They don't. And they don't even know biology. Garrett, would you play that little clip I've asked? And Dennis was so well to get for us today. You've probably seen something like this, but I want you to see it again. Go ahead and run it.
The live 4D technology. This beautiful young man is only 29 weeks, one day. And with this technology, you could see him crystal clear. Look at his little lips puckered up. I even have the ability to manipulate the light source. Look at his mouth moving. Unbelievable. His lips, look at the definition of his nose and his nostrils. If I turn him to the side, you could see how lined up his perfect little forehead, lips, and chin are. He just smiled. Did you guys see him? I gotta rewind and show you his little smirk. Absolutely beautiful. Look at him. Wow, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. 29 weeks, one day with HD Live 4D at Infancy HD.
Oh, 29 weeks, 8 days. We were told over and over and over again that what was inside a mother's uterus was something called a fetus, a blob of tissue, not a baby. Have you ever heard that? And then ultrasound. And some of these, it's amazing, isn't it? Some of these techniques began to be able to, for us to see inside the womb. I don't know who you could be, and if somebody showed you that picture and asked you, what is that, that you would say, boy, I don't know. Beats me. Must be a frog, I guess. I don't know. No, you know what? It's a baby. We've been lied to for years and years and years. And when those lies get proven to be lies, then they just change the tactic over something else. And the lies go on and on and on and on. Jesus says, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Talking to those Pharisees and Herodians. God is the God of life. Paul says over Romans chapter 5, death as a result of sin, and the devil introduced sin into the world, he's a murderer. Jesus says over in John 8, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. We don't even like to think about these kind of things because we don't like to advocate that there is the God of this world, which is a fallen angel called Satan. He's got great power. And then there's the God of gods. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. You see, for humanists, atheists, unbelievers, there's no such thing as the sanctity of life. They don't even believe that concept, period. Getting back to the Virginia law that was brought to the Virginia legislators, was written by a woman. Some of the statements that I heard said, well, most of our legislators are men, so we can't talk about this at all. What a load of crap. So she brings this bill to the floor that will be essentially mirroring the New York State law. It does not pass. But did you know she also brought another bill in that particular time of legislation? She did. This law said, let's kill babies. Doesn't even have to be a doctor doing it. Anybody can do it. Let's follow the New York example. But let's protect butterflies. I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. The same woman who authors kill children authors a bill to save the butterfly. Now, I don't know about you. I think butterflies are cool. But I think, myself, that babies are a qualitatively higher order than a butterfly. But that's the kind of logic and the kind of irrational arguments we've been hearing for years and years and years. And we just go, oh, yeah, I guess a snail daughter. We need to do something about the snail daughter. There's no balance there. It's totally one extreme or the other. It is not logical, but it is logical when you hate God to love death. You see, for them, life is just protoplasm. It's just a glob of tissue, whether it's a baby's life or a snail darter or a butterfly or whatever it might be, bird. Unless there is a God who gives life to all, who created man, human beings, in his own image. It doesn't make any difference. Who has given us a body, soul, and spirit? We're a tripart being. If there is no God, then human life as special or sanctified. And the word sanctified comes from Latin, sanctus, which means holy or sacred. Then it doesn't matter. What matters is who has the power to bring death. That's what matters. The famous artist Paul Gauguin wrote, before he attempted suicide, he wrote this down. He says, whence come we? What are we? And whither do we go? Well, he was in deep, deep depression, I'm sure. His answer was this: nowhere, nothing, nowhere. Had no hope. Carl Sagan, of course, who was one of the leading architects of evolutionary theory, especially in our nation, believed that the universe was merely matter. He talked about there's no such thing as a quality of life, there's no such thing as sanctity of life, because there is no God. You see, he understood. You get God, you got to do something else about all this other stuff. If you get God into the equation, then life then becomes valuable. And there is a degradation of value placed upon life, and man is at the highest pinnacle of that ladder called life. But if you don't have God, you don't have to worry about it. If there is no God, then every soul is of no worth at all. Well, I don't know, but I'm absolutely 100% confident that Carl Sagan understands something different today. Dr. C. Everett Koop, you can probably remember that guy who was a former Surgeon General of the United States. He wrote this when he was Surgeon General. He said, the abortionists, those who promote infanticide, euthanasia, and all, always take a few extreme examples to gain sympathy for their ideas and practice. They use them over and over and over again, and they succeed for the most part, and have succeeded for the most part, in making abortion legal. But the millions upon millions of abortions that are performed every year in the United States, only 2% of those abortions could be in any way connected with rape or incest. So you're killing 98% of the babies just because you can. Quality of life is a physical concept. No man can look at another, nor into the future, and determine the worth of another human being. Only God can do that. Quality of life, happiness of the mother. If you studied philosophy, you would find out that that's called hedonism. Hedonism. Holiday. What's the word holiday? It's a contraction of holy days. Hedonism comes from the word heathen. Those who do not believe in God. You know, Nazi Germany practiced mass euthanasia. Murder was over and over and over again talked about for the well-being of society, and then the well-being of society as a whole. We must eliminate these Untermenches, these Jews and Slavs and Gypsies and folks that had something wrong with them biologically or whatever. for the good of society. The Germans, at least, to sign off in a hospital to put that person to death who had something physical wrong with them or something intellectually wrong, whatever it might be, the Germans at least had to have three doctors sign off on that. New York said, nah, just anybody can do it. Just anybody can do it. The rejection of biblical values and biblical ethics always leads to a culture of death. It always leads to monstrous madmen in charge, and they always commit mass murder. Dr. Malcolm Watts, a leading doctor in the United States of America, gave a speech at the Medical Association, and he said this: all of Western civilization rests upon this principle upon which the United States was founded upon. He must have made this speech several years ago. He said, unalienable rights, the chief among them is life. You know, doctors take a Hippocratic oath to do what? To save life and do no harm. Who did I say? Doctors. But all it took to transform Nazi Germany into that hellish cult of death was deception, deceit, and lie after lie after lie. We have been being fed a steady diet of deception, deceit, and lies. Literally, one pro-life doctor said this when he was asked about his pro-life stand. He said, you don't recognize and realize that these are human beings you're killing. Yeah, I think so. The other doctors at that conference became furious, and they said, of course I recognize that. These are human lives. Wait a second, I thought they were just a clump of a tissue. What do you think? I am an idiot? That's a quote. No, I think you're a Satanist is what you are. You're anti-God. You love death. But then he said the most important thing. He says, but there's a lot of money in it. There it is, friends, right there. Listen, if these people didn't make money out of this, they wouldn't be in that business. If these legislating people, our congressmen, senators, the president, whoever it is, if there wasn't money in that, they wouldn't be in it. They wouldn't be voting for those things time and time and time again. They wouldn't be disguising that vote. They wouldn't be lying to us about what they're doing. If there wasn't money in it, there's money in it. Big, big money. And they want to be rich. And they'll sell, and they are doing that, whether they recognize that or not. They're selling their soul to the devil for that cold cash. That's what they're doing. Perhaps you might not have known that in 1973, Harry, a black man who was the chief justice of the court at that time, who wrote in favor of Roe v. Wade, appealed to religion as part of his decision to favor abortion. It's amazing. What's the little gal that's had a heart attack and had cancer five times and she's resting at home? What's her name? The Chief Justice. Not Chief Justice, but Supreme Court Justice. Not too many years ago, when somebody asked her, a particular country in Africa was writing their constitution, and they asked her, what kind of constitution would you recommend? She recommended everything under the sun except ours. You see, it does matter if these people who were putting on the Supreme Court uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, or whether they, like Blackmun, will draw on other resources. So he draws on religion. Oh, he said, well, that's good. I'm glad the guy's got some sort of moral foundation to it. He's calling, and he wants to, what are other religions? Think about this. You know what the religions he called upon were from Greece and Rome, which advocated abortion? He didn't call upon Christianity. He didn't call upon the religion that was dominant in the United States of America. He called upon those. His appeal to religion was to those societies that practiced abortion and infanticide. I think that's deception at the highest level. We should have known about that in 1973. It should have been written about and talked about every day. Why did the Supreme Court vote this way? They wouldn't have found it in law. Of course, we get excited about other things. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan, and we're going to save you $2,000. I think I heard that not too long ago. You know, I'm convinced, and somebody said this, which is a joke, but somebody said this, you know how you can tell that President Obama's lying? His lips are moving. I want to further expand that. I think, you know how we can tell our politicians are lying? Their lips are moving. Their lips are moving. And all we have to do is find out who's been giving them money, and we'll find out whose side they're really on. They can tell us, like the young guy that was in my brother and sister's district there in Missouri, that will tell them all that they want to hear and then goes up to Jeff City and votes another way. They can do that all day long. Deception, deceit, and lies. We, born-again believers, must necessarily know the truth. We must necessarily speak the truth. We must necessarily defend the truth. Because all those who hate me, the Lord says, love death. Dennis, would you come forward? And I've asked some guys to... This is a different kind of closing this morning. I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But you guys come up, please.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, the devil is delighted with our infatuation with death as a solution to the problems of life.
Help us to turn from such ungodliness, from death to life, to repent of our complacency and say, God, have mercy upon us. Help me to oppose death and seek life.
Give me the strength to walk with Jesus and obey the word of God, that I will know your mercy, goodness, and strength all the days of my life.
O God, merciful Father, open the eyes of America. Bring true repentance to this people. Bring great revival that will touch every heart.
Open the understanding of our judges and elected officials that they may decide for life and not death. Let your grace and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus guide our homes, lives, and churches. Father God, please remove the scales from our eyes. Rebuild the foundation in our souls. Father God, how can a woman kill a baby that's been growing inside of her, especially at birth? Father God, the woman should not be here. Father God, the man that was required to make the baby, maybe he shouldn't be here. Father God, help us. Rebuild our souls and our lives. There is nothing more important than life itself, a miracle that you have given us. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.